Welcome to episode 361 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm your host and producer, Josh Pollard, and this is the show where we talk about Microsoft Entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms. Now, I know you're used to hearing Richard Gunther's voice for that second part there, but he's not here again this week. But don't worry, it's not just me this time. This week, I'm joined by none other than a previous co-host, at least once, Marcus Lyons, Microsoft Xbox MVP and good friend of the show. Marcus, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. So I'm assuming that all of the mail you got last time didn't convince you to not invite me back again. So this is good.
No, I think everybody likes having you on. And it makes a lot of sense to have you on when there's some gaming stuff to talk about. And we've got a fun extra gaming topic to talk about tonight. And you are the perfect person to talk about that particular topic. But we'll wait until later to get into that. First off, we've got some listener feedback to cover. We got two emails sent in to us at our inbox at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. The first one's from Larry. He says, well, this weekend, we have yet another Roe v. EPG scared debacle, whatever you want to call it, for Windows Media Center. In my hometown of Kalamazoo, Michigan, the electronic program guide ends on March 18th. I noticed this midweek and waited to see if an update would come this weekend. Well, it didn't. So I went to Microsoft Connect to report the problem. Well, guess what? Many other Media Center users in other cities and states are having the very same problem. This is not the first time this year that Roe v. has screwed up the EPG. Back in January, magically, all my local HD channels vanished from the EPG. The SD channels were there, but not the HD versions. So I reported it on Connect. While looking at other people's issues on Connect, I saw there was one person who looked at the TV listings on MSN.com, which also uses Roe v., and noticed his problem was there also. So I looked at my TV listings on MSN and noticed the local HD channels were also missing. I noticed there's a link at the bottom of the TV listings page to submit feedback. So I did, and the issues were fixed within a week. So back to today's issues. I went to MSN to look at my TV listings and found something quite shocking. When I put my zip code in, MSN told me there were no television providers for my location, and thus, there are no TV listings. So that is the problem. Roe v. has lost the TV providers database, at least for his area. By the way, I also entered some random zip codes from across the country, and Roe v. could not find any TV providers. So, like before, I also reported today's issues on the MSN website. Hopefully, they fix it before the 18th. So, the first lesson from this is if you have EPG problems, check MSN. And if it has the same problems, report the problem on both Microsoft Connect and MSN, and it will probably get fixed faster. Second lesson, Roe v. sucks. He says, you know, I'm beginning to think I'm back in high school and Roe v. is my girlfriend. Every couple of months or so, there's some sort of drama to go through.
Nice.
So, Larry, you know, when I first got Larry's email, I went and checked MSN's listings. I didn't even realize the MSN site had TV listings, but he's right, it does. And for me, everything was fine. But then I came home and I noticed that my Windows Media Center has the same issue his does. My guide listings end on the 18th. We're recording this on the 15th, so Microsoft does not have much time to get this issue resolved. The other thing that I noticed, I went to MSN TV listings again tonight, and the webpage was completely down. There was just a message saying, basically, refresh the page and see if this page comes back. Really not instilling a lot of confidence in their ability to provide us with some guide listings. Next email is from Elmer. He says, I recently bought Lego Marvel's Avengers as a digital game download for my Xbox One. $60 was the cost of the game, and since my son loves such games, I didn't mind paying for it. The problem I have is that the game just refuses to work. Sometimes it will just get stuck at the loading screen when entering the game, Other times, it will start playing and get stuck when moving to a new level. It will just stay in the same loading screen. Other times, it'll start playing and crash and send us back to the home screen. I've tried all kinds of troubleshooting I found online, and it still won't work. My son just gave up and said that we should ask for our money back. Even he understands that if you pay $60, the game should work. Now my question to you guys is, how do I go about requesting a refund from Microsoft? So Elmer and I went back and forth a little bit on this one. There isn't really a way to get a refund on these games. So he did some more research, found a post on Reddit that basically said, not only do you have to uninstall and reinstall the game, and not only do you have to wipe out your save game progress for that game, you actually have to go one step further than that. Here are the steps that he took, and it did work. Step one, uninstall the game. Step two, clear all cloud save games related to this particular game. Step three, clear all local game saves, all of them. Not just the specific game-related ones, but of all the other games too. Every game you own, wipe them all out. Manually turn the Xbox off. Unplug the power cord and hold the button for at least 30 seconds on the Xbox One. Turn it back on. Download the game again and cross your fingers while it downloads, hoping it'll work once it's done. And it did. This is kind of bonkers, Marcus. Have you heard about this with any other games?
Not to that degree. I know that there's solutions about just as he experienced, where you basically hold in the power button until it does like a basically a hard reset.
Right.
I've actually never heard of somebody having to clear all the local stuff out, but you know, but usually hard resets do fix a lot of problems that people will have with like a game or an app. So it doesn't really surprise me that that part of it was in the equation. I just hadn't heard the part about clearing the cache and, you know, blending this and mixing that and spinning it around and putting it out on the porch to dry. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, so, that's a lot of work to get one game to work.
And I hope that's the most fantastic game ever for them.
So. Well, when it's your kids, I guess you'll do anything. So, well, hopefully that's the last of Elmer's issues with that game. And hopefully we don't hear about anything else like this from anybody else, because that really, really stinks.
Yeah, so, I would agree.
So let's move on to our news for the week. On the video side, we've got an article from Paul Thurrott saying that Microsoft, according to his sources, is currently testing the DVR functionality for the Xbox One. That's not really that big a news. We know that the functionality is coming. They had initially announced that it was coming last year. So the fact that they're testing it now is kind of expected. The thing that I find really interesting about this is that he lists the build name that they're testing it on. And that build name is the Xbox One Threshold Beta 1603 System Update. 1603, that sounds a lot like 1511, as in the last major release of Windows 10. What do those numbers mean? Well, 15 was the year and 11 was the month. And if that same naming scheme is in play here, that means March, which is this month of this year. Now, I don't think it's coming out this month. They've already detailed what's coming out this month, and the month's already half over. But what this could mean is that we're going to get this as insider preview, whatever they call this on the Xbox side, preview members, I suppose. And we might be able to use this functionality very soon if you're in the preview program, and that would be really, really awesome.
The one thing we should also remember, though, that is that DVR functionality works if you're using TV over the air. So if you're a person who's using Sling, for example, or even if you have, you know, a cable service with a box plugged into the back of Xbox One, then this DVR functionality might not be working for those particular types of scenarios. But if you're getting it over the air through an antenna, maybe the Hopage tuner that they have, then yeah, this will actually be a great thing where, you know, you can start using your Xbox One as a DVR / VCR / Blu-ray player / oh yeah, and a gaming console too. So
oh yeah, it does that too. Yeah, so when they announced this functionality last year, they said it would work with the currently available APOG over-the-air tuner. It's a single tuner, so you only get to watch or record one thing at a time. And it would also require its own external hard drive. That mm-hmm. means that if you already have an external hard drive that you're using for game storage, you're going to need a second external hard drive. You cannot use the DVR functionality with the internal hard drive or a hard drive that you're using for game storage. So you might need to be hanging two hard drives off of your Xbox One to be doing this. And there's still the problem of it only supporting one tuner, which is kind of lame. So I'm hoping that this is coming soon and that they're going to be announcing support for more tuners that support more TV tuners. Two or four over-the-air tuners would be really, really nice. But hopefully this is coming soon, because I wouldn't mind ditching my cable for this and maybe Sling or one of these other types of services. But if I'm going to ditch cable, I kind of want to ditch my whole home theater PC too, especially Media Center guide data problems.
I was just going to say a couple of other things people should remember about things like the external drive and that sort of thing is that Xbox One, as long as the external drive is USB 3 and more than 256 gig, I believe, then you can go to town. So if you're the kind of person that's like, yeah, I love recording basically the entire season of Name Your Show, and you just want to make sure you have it forever and ever and ever, then, you know, go ahead and get as big a external hard drive as you can. I personally recommend getting one of those hard drives that doesn't require an external power brick to run, like it's self-powered through plugging it into the console, because those are small enough and compact enough that if you wanted to take it, say, to another friend's console, you could. So, you know, there's some benefits to having it on a external drive, especially if you get the right kind of external drive. You can just kind of take it with you. Or they actually announced it as part of the announcement last year that you'll be able to download your recordings to any device running Windows 10. So you'll be actually be able to schedule recordings while you're out, like, say, you know, out of the grocery store and like, oh gosh, I forgot to record this show. You can go through Xbox Live and say, hey, record this show for me, and it'll actually be back on your console when you get home. So they're already going to come out with some pretty good functionality at the beginning, but you're right, it'd be nice if they could expand on that and really open it up to different DVR scenarios that people could think of. But for that bit of it, I think it would be a really interesting start.
Yeah, definitely. Very much looking forward to this functionality. All right, so let's move on to a little bit of audio news. Kind of a tempest in a teapot here. There was a few sites reporting over the weekend that Spotify is abandoning Windows Phone.
Oh no.
What are we going to do? And that would be really unfortunate for me. I am a Spotify subscriber. But it turns out that isn't really at all what Spotify was saying. Now, what they are saying is, we've got an app that we made for Windows Phone 8.1. It's going to keep working on 8.1. It's going to keep working on Windows 10. And as far as a Windows 10 app, they've got a site where users can request features. Windows 10 app support is a pretty highly rated item on that site. But when Spotify clarified their position on all of this, the same day they marked that ticket in their system as not right now. So it's not going away, but we might not be getting anything new, maybe ever, or at least not for a while. The unfortunate thing is that ticket also includes Xbox One, but there's a separate item on their site for requesting an Xbox One app, and it's actually the number one most requested item on Spotify's site.
And doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. And that isn't even listed as not right now. That seems even less likely, which is really unfortunate. I would love a Spotify app on my Xbox One. It would be the killer app for me. It's the one app that I really, really want. Everything else, you know, I'm fine with what we have, but Spotify is what I really want. And
can I interject a crazy idea?
Sure.
Because one of the top things people ask from Xbox is background music, right? The idea that I don't want some music app snapped and taking up real estate on my TV while I'm trying to frag somebody in Halo.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't it be cool that once they say, hey, we have this whole background music thing working. Oh, by the way, here's all the services that'll work with that. And one of them ends up being Spotify. So there would be Groove, iHeart, Pandora, Spotify. Now, for Spotify to come in on an announcement like that would probably send ripples and clickbait throughout the entire tech industry. So I think for them being attached to that kind of announcement would be really, really cool, especially when you take the number one requested thing from Spotify and the number one requested thing from Xbox and putting it together. That would just send eons and ripples through everybody's body.
Yeah, that so. I like that idea. I like that a lot. And they've been hinting that Phil Spencer specifically has been hinting that background music support could and likely will come this year. So that'd be awesome. I like that idea. Good one.
We have it recorded too, so that if it comes to fruition, I can say, see, I'm such a psychic.
So let's move on to a little bit of gaming news. And Marcus, you're an Xbox MVP. You've been an Xbox MVP for a really long time, but you have decided to try something a little bit different with your relationship with the Xbox community. What are you doing now?
So here's kind of like the then and now. So people need a little bit of backstory of what's going on. During my time as an MVP, and I've been an MVP since 2008, I've always tried to do projects that were of, that were always like these grand scale things, but always with the undercurrent of really empowering and helping the community feel better about this technology that they're using, whatever it may be. And one of the last projects I did a few years ago was called Consumer Camp. And the idea was MVPs who were involved in consumer technology. So that would be Xbox, Windows Phone, Windows, Office, you know, those consumer focused kind of technologies. Those type of MVPs would come into Microsoft stores and host workshops. So customers can come in and learn about Office. They could come in, they can learn about how Windows Phone work. They could come in and learn from me about like family safety on Xbox. I did that for a couple of years, and there were a lot of highs and a lot of lows to it. And at some point I thought, well, maybe I've just exhausted all I can do with this. So about a year and a half ago, I just decided to discontinue the idea. And since then, at least twice a month, somebody would approach me and say, hey, where did that consumer camp thing go? It was something I enjoyed attending, or I would hear from an MVP that said it was something I enjoyed doing. And so it was always in the back of my mind that if I ever had a chance to revisit the idea, I would. And so when the MVPs for Xbox got together this month, we always like to talk about what can we do as a group to better the Xbox community as a whole. Like, we all have these individual talents that we do, these sites that we do, these YouTube streams that we do. But how can we always like harness that together to be like one gigantic cool super thing that just goes out there and really engages with the community on like a big level? And in the midst of that, I thought about my consumer camp idea, and I decided, well, maybe I can actually take that idea and kind of retool it and like do it all over again, but this time don't make it so broadly consumer focused, but now just keep it strictly on Xbox. And so what I decided to do was create a program called Xbox Unlocked, which is basically now Consumer Camp, but it's just Xbox focused. So there will now be, again, the in-person workshops, but now I'm going to, you know, harness the talents some of the other MVPs are doing with like YouTube streams, with like play dates and that sort of thing, to kind of become like a central point for consumers to find out what's going on with Xbox, who's doing the cool stuff, where's all the cool stuff happening. Because one of the other things I like to help the community to do is kind of see through the fog and kind of like navigate through all of like the clickbait or the people who are just kind of out for themselves and not really to help out the community, like help them, help consumers find out who are the good people in Xbox. So this past week, I've kind of announced that Xbox Unlocked is now a thing. People can follow it on Twitter at Xbox Unlocked. Starting this summer, we're going to start having the in-person workshops at the Microsoft stores again. They will be happening in US and Canada. But in the meantime, there will be contests, giveaways, tips, ideas, articles, places in Xbox people probably aren't too familiar with, you know, just things to really get the community empowered about Xbox so they feel much more comfortable about this platform that they're playing on. So they actually become better gamers the more educated they are about how enforcement works, how to be a good person online, you know, that sort of stuff. So the overall goal is to create a better Xbox community for everybody. And so this has just become the step I'm taking as an MVP to kind of see that sort of realization through. So that's the big spiel.
So it sounds like your Twitter account is the main place to head to for that. So what is that Twitter account now?
The Twitter account for this program is Unlocked Xbox.
Okay. And if you're not able to type that into your Twitter client right now because you're listening to this while in the car or something like that, don't worry. We're going to have the URL for that in the show notes so that everybody listening can go in and follow you on Twitter to keep up with all of that news. It sounds really great. It sounds like a lot of the things that you're going to be discussing are things that aren't very frequently discussed and could lead to a lot of questions by users. So that sounds like a great idea, Marcus, and I wish you the best of luck with that.
Thank you. Because actually, one of the other things that actually this would be interesting for you, because one of the things I will be covering, at least in workshops that I do, is what I consider Xbox beyond gaming, because I love to talk about the app story on the console and the fact that people could do things beyond Halo and Call of Duty. Like right now, there's apps like Sling or Rosetta Stone or TED Talks or, you know, ESPN. You know, there are things that the entire family from any age can get involved in, things like Xbox Fitness, for example, where it's not just a console you hand over to say, here, play Gears of War. It's something where people can watch movies. They can get educated about stuff. They can watch YouTube. They can kind of, you know, take this one console and really do a lot of different things to better themselves, as well as go out there and frag some noob in, you know, Halo 5. So that's one of the things I want to cover, at least on my end, when I go out and do like discussions with people, is how you're not just purchasing something for games. You can actually be purchasing something that the entire family can get some benefit out of, whether they game or not.
Cool. Absolutely. And you've written posts like that for the Digital Media Zone. So you sound definitely qualified to be doing this. So very cool.
Well, thank you.
All right. So let's move on to the topic that I felt you were the absolute best person to have on to talk about, and that is gaming backlogs. Now, this was inspired because you started off the new year by talking a lot about your gaming backlog on the Xbox and setting forth a plan to work your way through your gaming backlog. And it inspired me that, you know, this is an issue that a lot of gamers deal with, and you've probably got some ideas for how to get people through this. And maybe some people are suffering with some of these problems and they don't even know exactly what it is or how this is happening. So I guess let's start off. What is a gaming backlog?
Oh, that's such a loaded question. basically, a gaming backlog is this long list of games that you want to play, that you want to get through, like from beginning to end. Like, you know, there's always the great thing about gaming is that, you know, there's always going to be good games coming out practically every month. But the problem with that is, you know, you start a game in January and all of a sudden February, here comes two great games you want to play. And then March shows up with three more. And then April shows up with one more. So it gets to a point where by summer, you're now looking at 7, 8, or 9 games that you want to get through, but you're trying to find the time to get through, but it just seems like by the time you get through one, two more has added themselves into the line. And so the gaming backlog is always like the thing that pretty much haunts gamers the most, because they want to enjoy as many games that they can, but realizing there's always going to be more games that fall into line the minute they get another one done. So there's different ways of tackling it. There's different ways of handling it. It's just really a matter of what type of gamer you are and how committed you are to getting some of these games done.
Okay. So I guess a small follow-up question to that is, when you define gaming backlog, you mm-hmm. mentioned that it's games you want to play. Do you only consider a game to be on your backlog once you've purchased it, or is it anything that you want to play, even if you haven't purchased it?
For me, it's even includes games that I haven't gotten around to buying. This is also why I'm kind of glad Xbox doesn't have like a wish list portal built into the dashboard, because that thing would be full. But it's even games where you're like, the newest game comes out, but you don't have the time and or the money to get it at that point. So you kind of log somewhere, hey, I got to come back and get that game and at least start out with it. But even then, that just kind of adds to the list now of, you know, the games you purchase because you figured you definitely can commit to them and you find out that you can't. And then there's the ones you decided you weren't going to buy yet. And then, you know, they add into the line, or the games you haven't bought yet because you'll say to yourself, well, I'll wait till that particular game is on sale and then I'll pick it up. And then, you know, you get it when it's on sale and now you've realized now that I have it, it's now gotten 8 other games ahead of it. And so the line is just getting longer.
So what is the impact on the gaming backlog from things like big game sales?
That's the thing, though. Gamers always love to have the newest game, regardless of where that's going to fall in the line. So that's why any blockbuster title like recently The Division or Rise of the Tomb Raider or Forza always comes out with these gigantic numbers. If you actually watch people in the few days after the AAA titles come out and kind of died down, you'll see a lot more people start to complain about, oh, God, I have all these games now. What's going on? What is this? What's happening? And that's especially relevant around the holiday season, where every publisher is trying to push their big game between October and December because they want people to get them for like Christmas, or they want, because some people take like holiday breaks, here, play my game for that entire week. You know, so 3 or 4 AAA titles will come out in like a 2-week span. And it's like, okay, how do I find any moments to get with any of these 4? So I've never really seen a AAA title suffer because people are just like skipping it because of backlog. People will just get it anyway and just add it to the list because at least they know they have it and it's there when they are ready to, you know, tackle on that particular game.
Okay, so why don't we start to dig into a little bit of some of your ideas for how to deal with an overwhelmingly large gaming backlog? You know, what are your strategies for getting through it?
Actually, I will say this. When I went from 360 to Xbox One, the thing I said to myself was, okay, I'm going to be very, very, very selective about which games I get for Xbox One. That turned out not to work because the games were just too good. And it was like, okay, fine. Okay, so then I'll just say farewell then to the 360 stuff and just say, okay, cut that loss. It's fine. Move on. Then they did backwards compatibility.
Oh, no.
Killed that idea. So now my console is filled up with all these like Xbox One and then 360 games. And so the way I tackle it personally is to not feel so anxious that I have to get through every game sitting there. I just now have taken it as, okay, I'm just going to play the game I feel like playing today, no matter what that game is. If I really just feel like playing NBA 2K today, then that's what I'm going to do. If I feel like playing Gears of War, that's just what I'm going to do. And not speed myself through a game to try to get it done or force myself to play a game that I am really not in the mood for just because I have to feel like I have to start it. That's my personal strategy. I've just come to the acceptance point of the backlog exists. I just accept it. It's there. So let me just see it as a gigantic arcade of games. And then whatever I'm in a mood for, be it sports or driving or fighting or, you know, first person shooting, then I'll just pick a game that goes along with that and then just play. And if I progress, I progress. If it's the same level again, it's the same level again. Because I know some of my friends will buy a game and power through it in like 3 or 4 days and then say, okay, I'm done. And then they'll take the next game and power through that. And that's not how I am personally. It's like, you know, sometimes I like to just sit on a game for a while and just enjoy like the look and the music and, you know, the story and the development and that sort of stuff. So, you know, that's my approach to this whole issue of backlog. Plus, it gets worse now that games also include DLC. So it's not like you take a game, go from start to finish, done, move on. It's like you go to a game, start to finish, try to move on. Now all of a sudden they've added two extra chapters as DLC. So do you now backlog with DLC, or do you just kind of say, ah, no, I got to the end of this base part of the game, I think I am done, you know? So I think that's why the issue of backlog is becoming complicated, because games, a lot of games really don't end anymore. It's just, here it is, and then we'll be adding a whole bunch of chapters for a couple of years, and then we may move on to the next game. So eventually, whether you like it or not, a whole bunch of stuff will just end up piling on you. So it's just a matter of how you can zen yourself out and just go, I'll just play whatever appeals to me and not worry so much about, you know, powering through and getting a whole bunch of games done within the week and stuff like that, because that can end up like stressing you out, and then you'll just not like gaming at all. Nobody wants that.
Right. But it sounds like if you're just playing whatever it is that you're in the mood for, you might not actually make it through your backlog very quickly.
No, and you have to accept that. You have to accept the fact that, you know, 10 years from now, when you're on whatever they call it, Xbox 2.5, and then that one has backwards compatibility with Xbox One and then the 360 stuff, and then now all of a sudden your 50 terabyte hard drive has like 1,000 games on it. You just have to look at it and go, you know, I actually own all these games. It's fine. They'll probably follow me into the afterlife and I still won't be able to finish them all, but at least I have them. They're there. And, you know, whatever I'm in the mood for, that's the game I'll play. And once you kind of see it that way, then it's just, you know, tonight's XYZ game. Tomorrow will be this particular game, and not see it as I have to follow them in order and order and order and order and order just to, you know, get through them. And because I love how my friends, especially in office settings, love to try to go to what they call inbox zero. It's kind of like the same idea. It's like I come into the morning with like 100 emails. I'll be glad when I get it down to like 3, you know? And so some people see their gaming library the same way. Oh, I have like, you know, 25 games. I love it when I get down to like 2 of them plus some DLC. And it's like, if you really do that, sometimes you actually miss out on what makes some of these games special, especially when you try to just power through them. So for me, I just want to sit and enjoy what the developer and creator tried to do, like with their music and their ambiance and their characters and development and that sort of stuff. And when I do that, I get a lot more enjoyment out of the game than I do when I just try to hit it from start to finish. That makes
okay.
sense.
So it sounds like basically what you're telling people is just relax. Like, it doesn't matter if you've got a big backlog. You're going to get more enjoyment out of just play what you're in the mood for. And if you don't get to some of these games for a long time, what's the big deal?
Yes. And I know a lot of people won't listen to me when I say that, but, you know, because games, good games are always going to be coming out. You can't stop that train. So it's like, you know, you can't write to every publisher, hey, can you like not publish a game for like 3 years while I try to like catch up on all these other games I'm trying to do? You know, because games are just going to come out, and they're always going to be good. They're always going to be compelling. They're always going to want to empty your wallet. It's just going to happen. So the sooner you kind of accept that, the better your gaming experience can be when you don't feel so compelled to, you know, everybody wants to play the new game, and that's fine. But, you know, play the new game some. But if an older game is calling you in a particular evening, go enjoy the older game. The newer game will still be there. The next game after that is still going to be waiting to take the $60 out of your wallet. It's just the way gaming life is now. So just kind of, you know, take time, breathe, and just, you know, play what appeals to you.
All right. Sounds like pretty solid advice to me. So let's move on to some Xbox news for the week then. One news story that hit this week, this came out of GDC, the Game Developers Conference. Microsoft is, of course, there, and they announced that cross-network play is going to be coming to the Xbox One. Now, when you first hear that, what you might think is, well, we already know that. Like, they've already told us that we're going to be able to play Xbox One games with Windows 10 gamers. Well, that isn't what they're talking about here. Like, that, yes, that's still coming. But what they're actually talking about here, despite the fact that they won't specifically say who they're specifically talking about here is being able to play an Xbox game or a Windows 10 game with someone on another console, you know, like a PlayStation. This could actually happen. And it's not even just theory, because when they announced this, a little game you might have maybe heard of called Rocket League said they're going to be the first ones to support this, and it's going to happen soon. So first off, they're going to release support between Xbox One and PC. That's the one that's to be expected and makes the most sense. But they said as this functionality opens up and as they figure out how to do it, especially on the PlayStation side, they are going to enable Xbox One owners of Rocket League to play with people who are playing on PlayStation 4. And that's really, really awesome. And it is just like, this has never been done before. And it's going to take, I think it's probably going to take a little bit of effort from the Sony side, because Sony's going to have to enable this too, or at least somehow make this available. But this all sounds great. Like, are there any downsides to this, Marcus?
If there are any, I'm either ignoring them or I don't see them or I don't care. The thing about this for me is that I remember commenting that I thought I would not see this in my lifetime, where one gaming company would extend that type of olive branch to say, hey, wouldn't it be cool if there could be games that any gamer on any gaming platform could play? And they could all play together, and they can all be one gigantic, happy gaming family. And it kind of makes sense for a game like Rocket League to do it because of just the type of game that it is. It would be kind of amazing to kind of have Xbox One players on one side, PS4 players on another side, just kind of going at it as, you know, different Rocket League teams. That sounds like a holy grail that we all thought nobody would at least attempt to achieve. But by extending this type of olive branch to any other like gaming platforms is pretty amazing. And I'm kind of glad that Xbox was the ones to do it. Because if people think about what Microsoft has been doing over the course of the last few years anyway, where they're taking a lot of their apps and putting them onto iPhone and Android. They showed up at one of the Apple events to talk about Office on iPad Pro. So they've been kind of extending this arm out to say, hey, you do some great things, we do some great things, why can't they just link up and be one fantastic thing? So for Xbox to kind of now step into that area to say, hey, you know, you have a great community over here, we have a great community over here, why can't we just get developers to kind of network the two of us together? I think that bodes for some amazing things that could happen in the next couple of years, you know.
And doesn't this actually make a whole lot more sense? You know, when we talk about being able to play between Xbox and PC, everyone immediately jumps to first-person shooters and how keyboard and mouse users on a PC are at a huge advantage over controller-wielding console players. Well, that's not an issue if you're talking about Xbox players playing against PlayStation players with a game like Call of Duty. It's already on both platforms. Both of them use controllers. There's no reason why that couldn't work. So this, I love this idea. And you know, if you're playing a shooter that maybe doesn't have as big of an audience as you like, or really any game, if you can suddenly open that up to the other console, then that extends the lifetime of these games. So I'm really excited about this. They didn't actually say when this functionality was going to happen. And again, I think it's going to take some work on the Sony side too, but this sounds like something that should be happening this year. So I'm excited about that.
And one other thing people should keep in mind is that Microsoft's Build conference is coming up soon. And I'm sure that they might, well, I would think they would have some information about cross-network play at Build, like since that's a developer conference and they want people to get universal apps onto things like Xbox. It would be a great place to have a workshop that says, hey, if you're a game developer and you want to try to put your game and make it work on all these different gaming platforms, we're going to have a class to teach you how to get that up and running. So, you know, that for me also makes me excited for something like E3, because I almost saw that as sort of like an E3 type of announcement, you know, where in the way that they introduced backwards compatibility, E3, they could have stepped out and said, hey, by the way, we've now made it so that, you know, all of your buddies who are going to the Sony conference will be able to play games with you. But they saved that for the GDC this week, which makes me now excited for what kind of announcements along that level could they be saving for either Build and or E3 down the road in June. So this is going to be a pretty interesting year to watch.
For sure. All right, so let's move on to some even more Xbox focused. We'll ignore the PlayStation for the rest of this.
actually, that's
not even entirely true. We're going to come back to that later. But for the rest of the gaming segment, Gears of War 4, it comes out later this year. This is expected to be a fourth quarter game on the Xbox. But you're going to get to play it soon, actually, because they're going to be releasing a beta in April. So there's going to be two beta periods that run back to back. The first one is they're calling early access. It starts April 18th and runs through the 24th. That one is more of a closed beta. You have to do something to get into that one, but it's pretty easy. You buy Gears of War Ultimate Edition on Xbox or Windows sometime between now, or if you've already purchased it, you're automatically in, or through April 11th. Anyone who buys Gears of War Ultimate, you're in for this beta of the Gears of War 4 multiplayer content. If you're not willing to shuck out the money for Gears of War Ultimate, you're still in luck because there's going to be an open beta April 25th through May 1st. So total beta period of the 18th of April through May 1st. It's a nice long beta. And here's the thing. We've seen a lot of betas for games over the last few years. And they're not really betas most of the time. They're really just demos. It's a way to demo a mostly complete game. That's not the case here. This game isn't coming out in a month and a half. This game doesn't come out until the end of the year. They're actually going to be using this beta as a real beta to get real test data information to be making this game better. So this is an opportunity for you to actually have a potentially a pretty significant impact on the game by just playing it. So definitely check this out. Marcus, are you a Gears of War player? Are you interested in doing this?
I've been a Gears of War fan since the original, like the original. Gears, I have to say the biggest multiplayer thing I've ever like obsessed over was the horde mode of Gears 3. Like, I don't think I've ever played a mode so much in my life. Like, I even try to go in now because of backwards compatibility. You'll still see a few people there, and I'll probably run a few waves and be like, oh, it's like the good old days. So yeah, I'm pretty excited for the multiplayer beta to show up. I'm pretty excited for Gears 4 overall. I'm interested to see where they take the story, because obviously they're not using any of the characters we've grown up with, so to speak. And so it'll be interesting to see what direction they take the story. If you're a person who's using Gear 4 as kind of like your introduction, like you just don't bother with the first three, will they do something to kind of bring you up to speed in a sense? Will there be parts of Gears 4 that kind of nod back to 1, 2, and 3? You know, stuff like that. It'll be interesting to see where they take that game this year, even if we don't see much of that in the beta next month.
Yeah. I wouldn't expect to see much of that story stuff, but definitely the multiplayer. So cool. People will be looking for you to gun you down in Gears of War 4 beta next month.
I'm a noob. I'm easy points. If there was a gamer score attached to me, oh, I'd be hooking a lot of people up. So.
All right. So it's a new week, and that means a new week of deals with gold and spotlight sale for Xbox One. And this week they've got a Ubisoft publisher sale. A lot of decent games this time around. Some weeks, like last week, not really too much of interest. But this week, you've got a bunch of the Assassin's Creed games on sale for 40 to 60% off. Batman Arkham Knight's in there. Destiny the Taken King, they've got a couple of different versions in there of that game on sale. And if you're a fighting game fan, Killer Instinct Season 2, the complete Season 2, all of the characters on sale for $13.20. That's a huge discount off of, you know, those seasons are typically $40. So big, huge discount on Killer Instinct Season 2. And frankly, like, there's a bunch more games that are interesting here. So Click the link in the show notes. There's a lot of really good stuff for sale this week. Any of it caught your eye, Marcus? You planning on picking anything up and adding to your backlog?
Well, a lot of those are already in the backlog. I have to admit that they're in my backlog. But I think you're right. This is a good week of special offers, especially the Killer Instinct, only because I believe it's this month where season 3 hits.
I think so.
March. And that's where they're actually going to introduce Killer Instinct to Windows 10 as well. So you'll be able to, you know, get your season 2 on against somebody else who's probably playing Killer Instinct on a PC. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how all of that plays out. So if you want to brush up on how Killer Instinct plays, and getting it while it's on sale, probably a good move to go.
Yep. And as we reported last week, anything that you buy for Killer Instinct on the Xbox One, you will also own on Windows 10. So yeah, this makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
you can frag me there too, by the way. I'm easy achievement score in Killer Instinct. That should be my new gamer tag, easy achievement score.
Right. Well, it's also the middle of the month, which means new games with gold for all of you who are Xbox Live Gold subscribers. New free games incoming on the Xbox One. You've got Lords of the Fallen. This is a game that I actually hadn't heard of prior to it becoming a Games with Gold. But now that I've looked into it, it looks kind of interesting. It's an action RPG that's kind of similar to Dark Souls. This is currently a $40 game, and it's going to be free from March 16th to the middle of April. So definitely check this one out. On the Xbox 360 side, another huge title, Borderlands, for free. And yes, again, I'm going to keep reminding you guys, all of these 360 games that are Games with Gold, backwards compatible. I've never played Borderlands, and I've heard nothing but good things about it. So I'm probably going to grab this one too and put it on my gaming backlog, and I have no idea when I'm going to get to it. But that Borderlands looks awesome. So to get it for free, that sounds really great to me.
And by the way, the cool thing that's currently sitting in preview for Xbox One, dealing with like the whole Games with Gold program, is that if you're a Gold member, and when this next preview comes out of preview, you'll actually be able to go to your Gold members area and actually see the Games with Gold for 360 available there. So it's not like you would have to go to Xbox.com or go find a 360 somewhere. It's like, because the store will now allow you to purchase the backwards compat 360 games from the store, they're also going to make those Games with Gold part of the Gold member area. So it'll say Games with Gold for 360, whatever the title is. You click that, it takes you to that part of the store. You say, yeah, I want to buy that, and then, or yeah, I want to get that, and then it becomes part of your illustrious backlog. So they're making it easier for you to, as a Gold member, find out when these Games with Gold games are available and to pick them up, especially the 360 games, now that they are the back compact games that work on Xbox One. So that was something I thought was really cool when I saw it. It was like, hey, they're actually right there telling me which the 360 game is, and I can just go and just get it, and I don't have to try to spring up on Xbox.com somewhere. It just happens right here on my dashboard. So, you know, I think that's a good step, especially now that all these games that are, you know, deals and free are just coming all the time. So having one place for all of that is going to be really nice.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've already got it as an insider, and it's really nice. That's how I'll get Borderlands this week. Cool.
Yay, all backlog. Right,
so let's move on to some mobile news. Some pretty big news here. The Here collection of apps, those would be like Here Drive and Here Transit and Here Maps, all of those map-based apps that came over from Nokia when that was a company that existed. Well, unfortunately, if you're a Windows 10 user, those apps are going away. This is kind of shocking news that hit today. All of the Here apps are going to be discontinued on Windows 10 as of March 29th. So if you don't already have those apps after March 29th, you're not going to be able to download them. You won't find them in the store. There won't be any more updates to them. And if you do have them installed, they're going to stop working in June. At the end of June, June 30th, they're going to stop working. So Here apps all going away on Windows 10, not on Windows Phone 8. They're still going to be around. You're still going to be able to get them. They'll still receive critical updates, but they're not going to be getting new features. So Nokia created these HERE apps. Microsoft buys Nokia. Microsoft integrates all of that HERE data into their own apps, but HERE is not actually part of Microsoft. And now HERE is abandoning the platform. This isn't good news, Marcus.
HERE today, gone tomorrow.
That was just too easy.
Yeah, thank you for the softball. actually, it might be surprising that one of the apps I found especially helpful around my area of the woods was transit, because I love to try to take public transit as much as possible. Driving is just not something I enjoy doing. So I always really enjoyed having those apps available on my phone, especially like transit and maps. And to see them go away is pretty stunning. I would hope that they kind of alerted whoever does like Windows Maps stuff ahead of time, so they at least has some chance to start, you know, getting some plan B together, because I think all mobile devices need some sort of mapping technology, because it would just be nice. So I mean, it's sad, and it speaks to a bit of where Windows Phone is in its current state, you know. But hey, it's whoever runs HERE technology has the prerogative to do it, and this is what they decided to do. So we're just going to have to try to find our way around, no pun intended, on how to get through this. We'll all just probably have to, like, you know, call each other and say, I'm here. Can you help me? Find me, please. You know.
Well, we're not going to be completely in the dark, because the Maps applications that are built into Windows 10 Mobile will continue to use the map data provided by HERE. So we can still use those. And the Maps app that's built into Windows 10 Mobile also includes turn-by-turn navigation. It still has the ability to download maps for offline use. So a lot of the functionality of HERE Drive is still going to be there, but not all of it. You know, like the commute feature in HERE Drive, which I love, isn't going to be around anymore. You may not like the way that the Maps application displays that stuff as much as HERE Drive. So you're going to have some options, and there are third party apps too. There's Sygic, I think is how you pronounce it, Sygic. There are other third party navigation apps. The HERE apps were so good. So definitely disappointed to see them going away, but they're gone. So there's not much we can do about it now.
Yeah. At least they won't be part of my apps backlog anymore. You sense a theme in the show, folks.
I think so. So let's move on to some industry news. This is where PlayStation comes back to the show. Man, we never talk about PlayStation. I have an Xbox MVP on the show, and now we're talking about PlayStation twice.
You think they had paid me.
He's secretly a PlayStation MVP also.
No, I'm such a Trojan.
That's not true. I won't start dirty rumors about you, Marcus. So why are we talking about PlayStation again? Because they've got this service called PlayStation View. It's also a device, I think, that's going away. But the interesting thing here is the service. PlayStation View is essentially a competitor to Sling TV. It's a way to get paid TV channels. You know, I'm trying not to say cable channels, but it is. It's the cable channels. It's the CNN and the Fox News and the ESPNs and Disney Channel and all of those types of things provided to you over the internet, just like Sling TV, except PlayStation View has an even bigger selection of channels. And what's interesting here is that they're expanding, because when PlayStation View first launched in the U.S., it was only available in a couple of cities, which seems weird for an internet service, but that's the way it was. Well, now you're going to be able to get it in most major areas with a couple of changes. So they are including some of the local broadcast networks, but only in some markets. So my market doesn't have it. But if you don't get live full access to all of those broadcast networks, they're doing a pretty decent alternative option, and that is to give you VOD for three of them. That's Fox, ABC, and NBC. So, you know, if you missed, let's say Quantico, that's a show that I watch on ABC. If, you know, I wouldn't be able to watch it live with PlayStation View, but it would be available to me the next day. You know, basically think of Sling TV plus Hulu. That's kind of what PlayStation View is here. And now it's going to be available everywhere. So, Marcus, the last time we had you on the show, one of the main reasons we had you on the show was because you were switching to over the air and Sling TV. Mm. And PlayStation View seems to be the biggest direct competitor to Sling TV. So, you know, what are you thinking this means for Sling TV and for people like you?
The way I look at it is the thing I like about PlayStation View, especially when I was looking at the packages that were available, is that it's lower tier package, which I believe was 30.
Yep, it's $30 a month. That's the lowest package.
The level, or I should say the number of channels just in that package alone rivals anything Sling puts out at the moment. You know?
Yeah. I think their lowest package actually has more channels than what Sling TV has.
Exactly. For just $10 more than what Sling's base package is. And so this kind of puts an interesting, you know, scenario into place, which is if they open up PlayStation View to be more than just PlayStation stuff like PS3 or PS4 or Sony TV, if they were to, example, put PlayStation View on Roku as like a service that you could get, there's nothing that could stop somebody from getting that $30 tier, plugging the Roku stick into the back of an Xbox One, and then saying, there's my TV.
So I have bad news and I have good news for you, Marcus. PlayStation View does not work on Roku.
Darn.
The good news is it does work on Amazon Fire TV.
Same scenario.
Yeah. So you could plug a Fire TV into the HDMI input on your Xbox One.
And how tall
is it? I mean, this seems so wrong. Like, you're going to get a PlayStation service, plug it into your Xbox One, and that's how you're going to watch TV?
Oh, well, come on. They're also talking about cross-network play with gaming here. Why can't we all just get along in every arena?
I guess. Dogs and cats sleeping together.
I know. It's crazy. But I mean, like, but this type of stuff really does open up the opportunity for people to really go after what I had called cost-effective television, which is, you know, what's the package, the best type of package I can get for the money I'm willing to spend. And so if a $30 PlayStation View gives you a lot more choice that you were going for over a $20 Sling TV base package, you could get the $30, you know, PlayStation View, get that onto an Amazon device, get that device going into your Xbox One, because that HDMI is designed for cable boxes and other input services anyway. And that, so now you basically have a good blend of channels. You now have it all coming through one input. You can still snap it to the side because it's going through the TV app. You can have that snap to the side while you're playing Halo, and life's all fantastic. So if you're Sling and you're seeing this announcement, you're thinking, okay, we have to up our game a bit, because, you know, $20 sounded great when we were just giving out these few channels, but if View is going to come in at 30 with this selection, then we really need to do better either with the base package or with the add-ons. So, you know, somebody who gets a base package plus two add-ons that equal 30 should be trying to find two of the most value action-packed add-ons they can find. So I would hope that at some point this year, Sling really does basically, as I would say, up their game and just say, okay, if we are trying to keep this base package at 20, we really need to probably add a few more, you know, meaty channels to this, you know, and not just these, what I like to call the indie channels of television, like the channels nobody's heard of until Sling TV added it. You know, just, you got to get some channels that people know and recognize and would want to at least, you know, plunk the 20 a month for, you know, because right now I would venture to guess people are really just plunking down 20 for ESPN and everything else is just like filler, you know.
Right.
So you really have to, you know, start putting some meat in that, you know, base package, you know, because now PlayStation View is basically stepped into your wheelhouse, added 10 bucks and said, but look, all these extra channels you're going to get, which I know people don't like. They don't like the idea of, you know, cable TV packages having like 1,000 channels that people won't probably even touch. But, you know, for an extra 10, you're really getting yourself a lot more variety of what you could look at while at home over Sling. And sometimes that's a value to somebody. So, you know, I say to Sling, you got to really, you know, take this PlayStation View news very seriously and say, how can we, you know, get back on the competitive side of this? Because especially if View opens itself up to every place that a Sling TV app is, you know, now your competitor is always in your side of the court. So, you know, when they finally hand you the ball, what are you going to do with it? Yeah.
I like you going with the sports analogy there, because one of the big things that I'm seeing as a plus for PlayStation View is sports. You know, they've got ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, and ESPNU the way that, that Sling also has it. But they've also got all of the Fox properties and more. So, you know, I'm in Ohio. I would get Fox Sports Ohio and Fox Sports Detroit and Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2, which carries a bunch of the racing that I care about. They've got the Big Ten Network. Like, there's a bunch of sports options here that I don't see on Sling TV. Plus, like, everything else. Like, they've got Sci-Fi and Spike and TLC and USA. And, I mean, you know, most of, like, I don't know that there's anything that Sling has that PlayStation View doesn't also have. So, you know, if you're a cord cutter and you're looking to replace your cable subscription with something else, you definitely have to take a look at PlayStation View, I think. And they've got a free trial, so there's really nothing to lose by giving it a try.
And I'll have to say, because I already own a Roku stick, if they ever put View as a Roku app, I would have to take a serious look at, okay, 24 Sling. And if I were ever decide to get any of the other add-ons, would it didn't then just be better to get the $30 View, you know? So, I mean, that's something that I think Sling is really going to have to start paying attention to now, because Sony is now taking this really seriously. So, you know, if you got now the power of Sony as a competitor, then you're really going to have to, you know, harness that, you know, power you have being a part of Dish, let's say, and say, we're going to now really up this service because we now have this to compete with.
Yep. All right. So we're getting down to the end of the show here. This is the part of the show where we talk about the things that we've been watching and playing and just doing in our entertainment centers. I'm going to throw this to you, but to give you some time to think about what it is that you've been watching and playing and stuff, I'll go first. My list, as usual, is pretty short. In terms of things I've been watching, House of Cards, finally getting into season 4 of House of Cards. And I'm only 2 episodes in. I've not been able to get through this very quickly, but not because of the show. It's so far been dramatically better than what season 3 was. So very much enjoying House of Cards right now, and will definitely be continuing to push through that, just not nearly as fast as I had done for any of the prior seasons. On the gaming side, and I mentioned this last week, The Division. The Division came out last week. That's the only game I played. It's probably the only game I'm going to play for a while. I am absolutely loving this game. I knew I would after the 2 betas that I played. It's been everything that I had hoped that it would be. And yeah, like, chances are, if you're online and you're friends with me and I'm actually playing a game on my Xbox One, it's going to be The Division for the next few weeks at least.
I can vouch for that. I've seen it. I've seen your status. I know.
He's not kidding, folks. Got it. We should play together.
We should. You can watch me run onto the street and just get shot by, like, you know.
I'll help you out, Marcus.
They should make a shirt that just says, with a bullseye that says noob. You know, just I know. I'm downplaying my own gaming ability just because I want to surprise him.
Right. The sleeper.
Exactly.
So, Marcus, what's going on in your entertainment center?
As far as, like, watching, I don't find myself watching much live television, like, as it's happening, unless it's like basketball. But one of the things I do frequent is PBS. And by that, I mean like PBS channel or the PBS video app that's on Windows 10. And the two shows I like to watch through that app specifically is Frontline. I love that show. It's a show that basically takes an hour or 2 hours, just deals with like major topics in society. Like one of my favorites is when they did a 2 hour about the NFL and concussions. And it's just an amazing look into this sports league and how they deal with, you know, a violent sport and the violent injuries that come along with it, especially violent head injuries. It's an amazing thing to watch. And the other show is like Austin City Limits, or even shows along that vein, like Great Performances, obviously, because I'm a big music and arts guy. So it's always cool to see these like performances by little small indie groups or big names, or, you know, people who have these really great musical talents. As far as gaming, you're right. It's The Division. I mean, hello, backlog. We're just going to freeze it there and play The Division here. Yep. Until the next game comes out and whenever. But yeah, I agree with you. It's a fantastic game. It's beautiful to look at. I mean, the way they just really did New York City with all the cars and the people in the buildings. It's just, sometimes you just want to walk around until you end up on somebody's, like, you know, stronghold base and realize, oh yeah, they're shooting at me. I should probably do something about that. You know. The other game I've been playing though is NBA 2K16, because I'm a big basketball person, but I've actually gotten into their, what some FIFA fans would recognize as Ultimate Team mode. So I'm in the process of trying to build up a Ultimate Team. I'm kind of now at the more mid-level players, like the 6th, 7th man on the bench. I thought I'd be kind of cute, as it were, and create a team called the Seattle Sonics. So I'm trying to like basically make my own version of Seattle's basketball team, because the game allows me to essentially design my own court, design my own uniform. So I'm in the process of now trying to recreate as best as I can the whole Seattle atmosphere, their court, their away and home uniforms. But obviously it'll be different players because you're trying to just build your team up to have the best players possible. So that's kind of like been my project for the last couple of months. So I'm going to see where I am with that. Summer. I hope to have like the Kobe Bryants and the Tim Duncans playing together. So that's an interesting thing that I'm working on besides the Division.
That's cool. All right. Well, that's it for the show. Before we get into all of the ways that everybody can get a hold of us, Marcus, what's the best way for people to find you on the internet?
The best spot would be Twitter. My handle is Trombone for Hire, all spelled out, all one gigantic word. That's usually the best place to find me, because there I'm just talking about music and gaming and arts and the things that I think are interesting for myself and for the community. So I'm always willing to hear people's music recommendations, or if they see a really cool sculpture somewhere, I'm always interested to see that kind of a thing. So that's the best place people can find me. And from there, you know, I could branch people out into other places and, you know, areas of the internet to continue conversations and that sort of thing.
All right. Well, we'll of course have a link for that also in the show notes. If you want to find myself or Richard, we're on Twitter at Richard Gunther for Richard, at Josh Pollard for me. And the website is at Digi Media Zone, DIGI Media Zone. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/thedmz. We're on Google Plus. You can also just shoot us an email, entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com, or just use the contact form on the website. We've also got other podcasts here at the DMZ that you should check out, like Home On, Richard's other show focusing on home automation and control. The most recent episode just came out. It's got me talking about the latest home automation news. It's always fun being on that show. And, I'm going to guess that he's going to have another episode coming soon with content from South by Southwest, because that's where he is now and why he's not on this show tonight. So you can find all of our shows in iTunes and on Pocket Cast or Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and maybe eventually, or maybe now, who knows, on Google Play. And if you like any of our shows, the best way that you can show your support for us is to leave us a rating or a review on iTunes. And if you do that, we'd really appreciate it. Then come back and listen to the show live. We record Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern most weeks. Sometimes that's not the case. So your best bet, follow us on Twitter, and we will let you know exactly when we're recording these shows live. And you can come and join and hang out in the chat room with us. Marcus, thanks again for joining me this week.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
And that's going to do it for episode 361. I'm Josh Pollard. I was joined by Marcus Lyons, and we'll be back next time for episode 362. Until then, adios.